No, but
I just did the background.
What I said to a couple people when they were bitching at me, I said, think of it as a tool. It's a tool to get people's attention. I said, I'm confident that our team won't have to use it. So good job.
Hi. Where are y'all from?
Okay.
Where are you from?
Oh,
on Interstate in my neighborhood, right by the IFCC. So I hear the smartest kids in Portland are at Trillium Charter School. What do you hear? Yeah? Yeah, pretty much the same. Okay. Just checking.
When is safety?
Well, we hope you enjoy council. This is local democracy in action. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Wednesday, April 8th session of the Portland City Council. We're glad you're here. Carla, will you please call the roll?
Fish.
Here.
Saltzman.
Here.
Leonard. Fritz.
Here.
Adams.
Here. Could you please read the title for Council Calendar Item 353?
Request of Christopher Lowe to address Council regarding Sanctuary City for War Resisters. There may have been a mix-up in the who was supposed to be on this week. We're checking into it.
Okay, Mr. Lowe is not available. Could you please read the title for Council Calendar Item 354?
Mm-hmm. Request of Kara Eggert to address Council regarding Sanctuary City for War Resisters.
Could you please read the title for Council Calendar Item 355?
Request of Catherine Heald to address Council regarding Sanctuary City for War Resisters. She did call and she cannot make it.
Could you please read the title for Council Calendar Item 356?
Request of Megan Brooker to address Council regarding Sanctuary City for War Resisters.
Could you please read the title for Council Calendar Item 357?
Request of Christine Akins to address Council regarding a small business and positive business experiences in Portland.
Good morning. Welcome to the City Council.
Good morning.
Glad you're here. Please have a seat. And our rules for all speakers are very simple. You simply give us your first and last name, no address needed, and 3 minutes, and there's a clock right in front of you there to help you keep time.
Okay, great. I'm delighted to be here. My name's Christine Akins. I am owner of Tree in a Box. It's a grow-your-own tree from seed. We have been in business for 18 years, but
Mr.
we're
Saltzman
new to Portland.
Mine. I just want to say, somehow he had two. Thank you.
Oh, you're
one,
welcome.
Two trees.
We'll give you more time.
Thank you. We have come to Portland from New Mexico, and we absolutely love it here. Things grow here. And we found that not only do trees and flowers grow, but companies and people and communities grow here.
You're great.
Tree in a Box has been mostly an internet business for the last 10 years, and we have sold to companies like Microsoft, Amtrak, American Express, Kaiser Permanente, thousands of weddings using them as wedding favors. But about September of this year, sales started doing what everybody's in the country have done and taking a real nosedive, so we decided we had to get back to our roots, which literally meant reaching out to the community and doing grassroots marketing. One of the first things I did was went to the mayor's office where I met Clay Neal, who immediately introduced me to your sustainability people. The very same day, I got a call from the Small Business Advisory Council. When I made a presentation to the Advisory Council, I met your small business liaison from the Bureau of Development Services, Tiffany Penson, who is absolutely amazing. She is knowledgeable, dynamic, introduced us to the Emerging 200 national program. So we have now been selected as one of the 15 companies in Portland to be an Emerging 200 company. That's a in the trenches marketing and mini MBA program for companies like ours. So we're very excited about that. I am just wanting to commend you for the communication between your agencies and your departments. We've just made contacts all over the place just from walking into the mayor's office. So I am an architect.
You should be writing this stuff down, Mark.
I'm a registered architect, so I've also worked with sustainability issues a lot.
Oh, you too, Matt. Sorry. I need to pick on the reporters, all of them, ecumenically.
Anyway, Portland, to me, epitomizes sustainability. And I know you've gotten awards for that in the past, but it's definitely true. It's a sustainable city. I have also just accepted the chairmanship of the Stanford Children for Lincoln High School.
Oh, great.
Wow.
And Stanford Children is, as you probably know, the voice for schools in the political arena. Yeah. So Stanford Children has mostly concentrated on the state and also somewhat on local school board elections and so on, but I'd also like to make sure that we are communicating with the city of Portland because I think, you know, the city understands that if we want to be one of President Obama's seven model cities, he wants seven model green cities, we can bring education and healthcare and all the sustainable issues together to allow that to happen.
Ms. Aikens, if I could just note that I'm the proud parent of a Lincoln sophomore.
Ah.
So delighted. And I think Bobby Regan, we have at least one school board member who has a child at Lincoln. And I, just speaking as one parent, I think Lincoln has gotten some bad press undeservedly recently. And I happen to think that Peyton Chapman is doing a great job.
I think we moved to Portland partly because of Lincoln High School. I have a daughter who's a freshman there, and I think it's a phenomenal school. It's different from a lot of schools, and it's...
Well, one thing I've learned is that there are a lot of Monday morning quarterbacks in our city, and I think she has a harder job than we have. And we can argue about the merits of decisions that principals make, but I know her heart's in the right place, and some of the recent controversy, I think, has actually provided a learning experience for kids about some of these life challenges that occur outside of the classroom. So I'm on her team.
Ms. Aiken, thank you so much for spending time with us and sharing your story. We really appreciate it. And we'll make sure that the employees involved in the bureaus that followed up with you and were responsive to you hear your compliments as well. So thank you.
I appreciate that. And I look forward to having a tree in a box in your gift baskets and trade events and so on as we move forward.
Count on it. Count on it. All right. Carla, could you, I guess we've got the consent.
I have the correct speaker for 353 now.
Okay.
Sorry, we had the wrong person listed. Daniel Shea, Sanctuary City for War Resisters.
Okay, is Mr. Shea here?
Yeah, he is.
Welcome to the City Council. Glad you're here. You heard the rules of engagement. So
okay. Okay, I want to thank you for allowing me to come here, and I would state my name is Daniel Shea. I'm a Vietnam veteran, 1968 in Vietnam for about 3 months there. And I'm here to talk to you a little bit about Sanctuary City. But the main thing is I'm not here to ask you to declare Sanctuary City for soldiers of conscience. What I'm here is I'd like to ask you to create a public hearing, to consider the matter, because in 3 minutes I cannot give you the kind of information you need to make a decision on this. I spent 12 hours in trying to write and bring down into 3 minutes what is so important to understand. These are veterans that we're talking about who have served one, two, or three tours in Iraq or Afghanistan, and they come back with wounds. They've been their mothers and their fathers, their brothers and sisters, and their whole families have been affected. Many of them have come to a consciousness in which they have realized over a long period of time that war is not the answer to try and build relationships in the world. And what they have decided for many of these young men and women, they have come to the position that they will no longer support the system in the way it's been operating. And they have come to the conclusion that the only way that they can do that is either to claim conscientious objector, which many of them have done, but many have been denied. Others have decided they will no longer participate while in theater and to put down their guns and still carry out their orders otherwise, but are refused to fire. Others have felt that there was no other choice but to go underground or to flee. And what we have to deal with here is we're dealing with people who are dealing with post-traumatic stress. I'm a Vietnam veteran. I lost a child due to Agent Orange at the age of 3, who went through surgery, heart surgery, congenital heart disease, because of my exposure to Agent Orange. The war is going to reach out to us way in the future, and we still don't know what's going to be happening to the veterans that are returning. From the first Gulf War, we already know that we have some of our vets that are dying today. We know that birth defects are happening today, but they're not being recorded. They're not being tracked. So it is up to us as citizens to come out and to say that we need a safe space, just a place, to hear their voices. And what I'm asking you to do is to create a public space for you to hear and listen to their stories. And at that time, when you're listening to their stories, then you can ask them questions. You can be concerned about some of the issues you may or may not be concerned about in declaring Portland a sanctuary city. But regardless of whether you do, if you listen to them, I declare my home a sanctuary city. And we as the people here in Portland can individually do that. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your testimony. Really appreciate it.
For your service.
All right, we're now going to be considering the consent agenda item, and I understand that items 373 and 375 have been pulled for amendment and consideration on the regular agenda. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Are there any other items on the consent agenda that anyone in this room would like to pull?
368. Just for the discussion.
All right, 368 has been pulled as well. Unless I hear any other request to pull, Carla, would you please call the roll on the consent agenda?
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Consent agenda is approved. We have a time certain for 9:30. Could you please read the title for Council Agenda Item 358?
Honor the Portland Parks Foundation and Ann Nato Campbell for their efforts raising funds for the Bill Nato Legacy Fountain, honoring Portland businessman and civic contributor Bill Nato.
Commissioner Fish.
Thank you, Mayor. At this point, I'd like to invite up Parks Director Zary Santner, Foundation Director Linda Lavalette, and developer and civic leader Ann Nato Campbell to the podium. And I'm going to make a few introductory remarks and then turn it over to them. As the Parks Commissioner for the City of Portland, I am delighted today to recognize the Portland Parks Foundation, our indispensable partner in all that we do here, and Ann Nato Campbell for their collective efforts to help the city realize the vision for what Waterfront Park could be. Parks Bureau and the Portland Development Commission have redesigned the Ankeny portion of Waterfront Park to accommodate the new home for the Portland Saturday Market and other programmed events. Located 2 blocks east of the Skidmore Fountain near Ankeny Plaza in Old Town, the new park elements will create a northern gateway into Waterfront Park that will welcome visitors to the park and to Old Town. The Portland Parks Foundation has taken the lead in raising funds for the park in a fundraising effort spearheaded by Ann Nato Campbell. Together, and I just cannot believe this number, they have raised over $750,000.
Wow.
From private citizens and other institutions for the development of an interactive fountain and a curving viewing deck that extends over the river. Today, we are recognizing the generous and powerful contributions that Linda Lavalette and the Portland Parks Foundation have made to our city. Without their commitment to Portland Parks, we would not have all the beautiful green spaces and community gatherings, places that have become signature Portland landmarks. Today, we are also honoring the true dedication of Ann Nato Campbell, who continues her family's tremendous legacy of civic leadership and commitment to the revitalization of Old Town Chinatown. I can't think of a better name for this new fountain in Old Town Portland than that of Anne's father, Bill Nadeau. Bill is greatly known for spearheading the revitalization of Portland's Old Town Chinatown. His list of accomplishments is too long for us to go through each one today, but we know that he was influential in the development in such monumental projects as Pioneer Courthouse Square, light rail, and the building of the Portland Classical Chinese Garden, to name just a few. Over two decades ago, Bill Nadeau helped to create the Japanese-American Historical Plaza, also located in Portland's Waterfront Park, and one of my favorite spaces in the city. His work was fueled by a passion for civil rights and for civic engagement. Bill Nadeau's legacy in Portland is carried on today by his wife, Mickey Nadeau, and his children, Ann, Ken, Steve, and Bob, and we're gonna recognize some family members in a moment that are here, and I even see some soccer fans, Randy. The city of Portland is blessed to have the Nadeau family's continued commitment to thoughtful urban development. I also, before turning it over, just want to acknowledge that Ann and I had a chance to visit before today's proceeding, and she observed that this has been a very long journey, and it took over 3 years, and that she is actually pleasantly surprised that it came together, that it kind of, she did not, these were not your words, Anne, but it was like the perils of Pauline, that there were many, many opportunities for this to go south. And I just want to acknowledge what I have come to see as the Portland way of doing planning. Thoughtful, long-term, patient, but when you do it right, you produce something beautiful and meaningful for the citizens like this. And I am very proud to turn it over to Zeri. And before I do so, though, I want to acknowledge my friend and colleague Dan Saltzman, because it was actually on Dan's watch as the Parks Commissioner that the heavy lifting was done on this. And Dan has been a stalwart supporter of this and many other great projects that the Parks has the privilege of continuing. So, Dan, thank you again for your good work. And, Zeri, I'd like to recognize you.
Thank you very much. Good morning, Mayor, Commissioners. I'm going to be very, very brief. It is a privilege for me to honor Portland Parks Foundation and Ann Nadeau Campbell for their efforts to raise the necessary funds for the Bill Nadeau Legacy Fountain, honoring late businessman and civic leader Bill Nadeau. City Council adopted the Waterfront Parks Master Plan in 2003, and that master plan recommended that the area of Ankeny Pump Station and Ankeny Plaza area be redeveloped and activated with a public attractor. It's a very good plan, but the Bureau lacked funding to implement any part of the master plan. The relocation of the Saturday market created the impetus to look at implementing part of the recommendations of that master plan. And when we began the conversation with Portland Development Commission, it became very clear that the budget for redevelopment and relocation of Saturday market was not sufficient to create the public attractor. So as has been the case in the past, we turned to our great partner, Portland Parks Foundation, and asked them about the potential of raising the necessary funds. And we also were aware of Anne's interest in helping create a signature piece of improvements in that area of the park. So the two sides joined forces, and with Parks Foundation's leadership and Anne's personal commitment and passion for getting this done, they actually were able to raise the necessary fund within less than a year. And I also want to thank Commissioner Saltzman for his encouragement, because we did not have the money in hand to start the design, but he agreed that we needed to give Anne and the foundation the opportunity to raise this fund. As you know, the improvements are under construction, and the Saturday market will move to this site mid-May, and the rest of the improvement will be completed in early July, and we will have a grand opening slated mid-July. So before I turn to Linda Laviolette, I want to express my sincere gratitude to both the Parks Foundation, Linda, Randy Sell, the chair, and the board of the Parks Foundation, and her family, and all the people who contributed towards this effort.
Thank you. Sorry. Thank you. Thank you, Zeri. And good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. It's my pleasure again today to be sitting at this table, which we did last April as well, to bring you good news that we're bringing dollars to our city from our private citizens, from businesses, foundations, and individuals, significant dollars to help create and manifest dreams. And as you know, we're all about the private-public partnership and what bringing together those resources can do for our city. And when Ann came to us over 2 years ago and said, I really would like to do this. I am passionate about this. This was my father's dream. But I don't know exactly how to go out and raise six figures like that in a very short time frame. Can you help us? And we were delighted to jump on board because we have our partner, the Parks Bureau, that we work so closely with, and to work with a passionate citizen like Anne. It was hard to resist, and we did not. So we're happy to sit here today to say that we helped make that happen, that there were some who told Anne and I, you can't accomplish this in this short amount of time. We're happy to prove them wrong, and we're happy to show that citizens stepped up in businesses and foundations. And speaking of such, I would like any donors in the audience, there were 37 donors, any donors in the audience to please stand up to be acknowledged. And I hand it to Nick, and I believe he's passed out to you. Did you do that, Nick?
Yes, I did.
Great.
I always do what I'm told by you, Linda.
Thank you. See, it works really well. So you have a list in front of you of all 37 of those donors and the public partners, and attached to that list is something else that I want to talk about that we brought to this project that was not part of it initially. And that's one of the advantages of the private-public partnership. When we play together, there's magic created, there's inspiration, and what we brought to this project that wasn't there before was a poetic tribute to all of our ancestors, the cultural heritage of peoples that were originally in Portland and that came through Old Town to make the incredible city we have today. That poem that you see in front of you will be in the granite risers at the fountain, and we're very, very proud of it and look forward to seeing you at the opening. Thank you.
And the opening again is?
July 16th. At the noon hour, it will be several hours of entertainment and fun.
Thank you.
And now,
Ann. Yes. Ann Nato Campbell. Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. I'm going to read my remarks since
please.
This is the first time I've ever been up here, and it's quite intimidating.
Oh,
so,
we're pussycats.
Yeah. Thank you, Commissioner Fish, for taking this time to talk about my father and the new Legacy Fountain project. It was a pleasure to work on this project as it was very close to my heart. I am grateful to be able to give back to the city, and we owe so much to the city, my family, and they're here today. Had it not been for our great partnership with Portland Parks Foundation, the Portland Parks and Rec, Portland Development Commission, and the Port of Portland, this dream would not have come true. I could not have done this without the support of my family and the Bill Nato Company, my husband Doug, my brother Ken, and cousins Larry and Ron. Doug, my mother Mickey Nato, my daughter Erica, and my grandson Grover are here today with me. And as you can see, they are avid soccer fans. Thank you very much.
Could we ask them all to stand just so we
sure.
can recognize them?
Can you,
the family
can
members.
Can you stand? In 2002, I walked into the Parks Bureau off the street and talked to David Yamashita about our dream of creating a remembrance to my father because there was nothing to explain why NATO Parkway had been named for my father. So it was just NATO Parkway with nothing. So then in 2006, Portland Development asked if we would spearhead a fundraising effort to enhance the fountain in Waterfront Park. And between 2002 and 2006, we had lots of meetings. So I commend you all for what you do today. I had no idea how to do this, but with the help of the foundation and my wonderful leadership team, we met our goal. I want to thank my friends on the leadership team, Sam Brooks, Sho DiZono, Bill Failing, Greg Goodman, Rick Gustafson, Linda Lavalette, Sandra McDonough, Bing Sheldon, Ken Thrasher, and Stephen Ying.
Never heard of them, but we congratulate them for their efforts.
And Stephen's in the audience, too. For those of you who did not know my father, he loved great parks, great trees, and great public gardens. He believed that they are what make a city great. He worked tirelessly on civic projects like Waterfront Park, the Japanese American Historical Plaza, Pioneer Square, and the Portland Classical Chinese Garden. And I'm going to put a plug in for our libraries, because he was raised by immigrants, and he didn't know how to read English. So he went to the library, and there was a kind librarian who actually taught him how to read. And my grandfather immigrated to America from Japan in 1917. My father was a Nisei, second generation, Japanese American, born in America. That's what a Nisei is. He went to Portland Public Schools and to Reed College. He loved Portland. Before his death in 1996, my father often talked about building a sister fountain to Salmon Street Springs. He realized that the north end of Waterfront Park needed this kind of revitalization. This summer, we will realize his dream 13 years later. This Bill NATO Legacy Fountain pays tribute to all of our ancestors and to our rich and diverse heritage in Portland. So in my father's memory, we will dance in the fountain on July 16th, and I invite everyone to come join us. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mayor, if people would like to make comments.
Do we have an invited guest?
We do not. I don't.
Okay. Has anyone signed up to testify?
No one else signed up.
Okay.
So are we voting, or are we? Is there something we're voting on? Or is this just a report?
This is an
ordinance.
An ordinance.
It's a non-emergency.
Non-emergency. Okay.
So we'll make comments.
Okay. Non-emergency.
Just any comments.
Go ahead, Dan.
Well, I want to thank Ann NATO Campbell and her family, cousins, father, mother, grandfather. Your family is one of those legacy families here in the city of Portland, and it's because of the many contributions, primarily, that Bill has done to improve the infrastructure of the city, the green infrastructure, as you said, the gardens, the river. But I do remember I had the pleasure of working with Bill when I was first elected to the County Commission in 1993, and we undertook successfully, with the voter support, the major renovation of the Central Library, which is, as you see now, is a real gem. And Bill and I were on the committee that was doing the fundraising for the campaign to get it passed. So I had many great stories he told me about the importance of libraries to him, and including what you had just mentioned. He also had this great idea, you know, since the county also runs the Juvenile Justice Department, and he had this grand idea of, when the library's closed at night, why can't we just bring in all the kids from the Juvenile Justice Hall and have them read all night long? Again, it's one of those great ideas that, you know, somehow the execution is just, you know, we're incapable of the execution of it, but it was a great idea. And I think Bill had many great ideas that sometimes the execution fell a little short, but we need people like him to keep putting out those great ideas. So I want to just, you know, thank you and the family, and really, I think I, you know, I speak for Zeri and myself both, and probably Linda, when we first were considering your eagerness to help raise funds, you know, we were a little doubtful about your ability to raise $750,000 in such a short period of time. You know, not necessarily your fundraising skills, but just it was a daunting schedule by any yardstick. So it's amazing to sit here today with you achieved your ambitious efforts, and once again, the city will be blessed by a tremendous asset on our waterfront in honor of your father. So I'm just real proud of you and want to say thanks.
Well, I was one of those who had the good fortune of not just knowing who your father was, but actually having him as a friend, and started out in the most unlikely of circumstances in my role as a fire inspector went, and Bill, as you know, was a very hands-on property manager. I mean, he, despite his tremendous success, was a man of the people, and that was exemplified by the very first time I made an appointment to go see him, expecting to find a very plush private office. And Bill was known for sitting in the middle of the room with the desk surrounded by everybody else that that worked for his business, just as another person working there, and behaved that way, and carried himself that way. And it's really unfortunate. I mean, we're having this great discussion today about this memorial, but it's so unfortunate people don't appreciate and remember what a colorful man he was. I mean, he was not just a successful businessman. We have a number of successful businessmen in this city. What distinguished Bill amongst all others was his unique personality and his way of speaking. I mean, anybody who spoke with your dad just loved listening to him talk. He had his own way of talking that was enchanting, and I'm sure you would agree. It was just wonderful to know him. And then when I got elected to the state Senate, I actually got to work with him on legislation that he wanted introduced, that I was happy to introduce for him, on preserving historical buildings. And I just treasured, even at the time, not even knowing he was ill, working with him. He was just such a thoughtful, unique, gregarious, expansive thinker. I love working with people like that. And so this is a fitting tribute, but it just doesn't really capture, for people who didn't know him, who your dad was. He really, in so many ways, represented Portland as we understand Portland in all of its greatness. And I walk through Old Town these days and I think about him and I miss him. So it's really nice that you've carried on this legacy and that your family has. And it's important to all of us, but means a lot to me. So I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. And as I see the three of you sitting there, I see the private sector, the public sector, and the nonprofit, and yet another example of the Portland Parks Foundation working with the Parks Bureau and with generous donors in the community to bring something wonderful that's a legacy for Portland. Thank you so much.
Well, I miss your father and your husband and your grandfather as well. I would add, agree with everything said, and also add how much I appreciated his often understated and deadpan sense of humor that when I first moved to Portland, it took me a long time to figure out that he was totally pulling my leg most of the time, but in a way that was very instructive. And I really appreciated that approach. And the fact that he was such an approachable and an informal person. And so I think this is a very fitting tribute. I want to thank you for your work, Anne, and thank the foundation and the Parks Bureau and the entire family for your carrying on that legacy into action.
Aye.
Did you vote?
Oh, we haven't called it yet. So,
oh, we're gonna,
if I could wrap up, and then we'll first of all, Ann, I'm going to ask you your forbearance.
I'm voting
early. One more parks matter, and then we have another matter on our agenda that I think you're going to be interested in an announcement. So if you wouldn't mind sticking around for a few more minutes, okay. I think it'll be worth your while. To the public watching this tonight, I just want to say this morning, look at these three people that are before us. And if you ever wonder why it is we have a great park system, you have to understand it's because of people. And these are three of our best leaders who make it happen, and it's not an accident. And I want to just close by saying that having served in government and most of my life outside of government, what I have learned in my life is that the indispensable people in our community are frequently people who don't serve in government. And that's not to take away from people who serve in government, but when you're in government, there are some limitations on what you can do. It's a tough arena, and that's why we rely so heavily on people outside of government to be first citizens. And in my time in Portland, every time the word first citizen comes up, people say Bill Nadeau. They use him as the model. And so I'm just proud to, while I did not know your dad, proud to have had and continue to have the chance to work with the next generation on a whole range of projects. And I want to close by just acknowledging that when I was young, I lost my mother, and I had a surrogate mother named Aya Ely. And Aya Ely was my father's executive assistant when he served in Congress. And she and her family had been interned during World War II. And that experience was very powerful for me growing up, learning about that. And my dad worked on the reparations bill that was ultimately crafted and passed to give reparations to people who had their civil liberties suspended. So there's a lot of history here today we're also celebrating, and deep roots. And while I don't have deep roots in Portland, I feel a kinship to what your family has done, and I have great respect for what your family has done. So thank you all, and we'll be voting on this next week. If your family can stick around just a few minutes, we're going to do one other parks business and then go to our the next agenda item, which I think you're going to be interested in.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Zara, you want to stay up for a minute?
Carla, could you please read the title for Council Item 359?
Authorized naming the new South Waterfront Neighborhood Park, the Elizabeth Carruthers Park.
Commissioner Fish.
Thank you, Mayor. I'd also this morning again like to thank the park staff and community members who have worked on the South Waterfront Neighborhood Park. We had extensive public involvement in the park design process, and the final design, as Council knows, because we brought it before you a few weeks ago, for the two-acre site includes urban gardens, open lawn, and natural areas. Construction recently began and will be completed in August with the lawn portion established by October. Up until now, the park has simply been referred to as the South Waterfront Neighborhood Park. And today we are happy to propose that the park be named after one of Portland's earliest pioneer women. Elizabeth Carruthers was one of the original settlers on the Willamette River, where the park now sits. The site is also believed to be the location of Portland's first cabin, originally built by William Johnson and his Native American wife. An interpretive narrative will be engraved into one of the garden's granite seat walls that will tell the story of the cabin and the area's first settlers. I am proud that the city of Portland will be honoring one of Portland's many historical women leaders, and in fact, very few parks in Portland are named after women who have played such a critical role in shaping our city. Now, in preparing for today, I would love to have invited a female descendant of Elizabeth Carruthers to accept the honor, but to my knowledge, she only had one son, and there are no surviving members. The closest I could find was a Liz Carruthers is a detective with the Portland Police Bureau. No relation, and the name is spelled differently. But I wasn't going to. I thought as a last resort I'd invite her, but she's actually a complete stranger to this, so I spared her that. There was, I will tell you, some discussion of, there were some other very compelling names, including the names of some community leaders who were instrumental in this park who are still living. And without getting into those names, I will simply say that we do have a tradition of naming parks after people who are no longer with us. And there are unusual circumstances where we can modify that. But we have chosen in this case to continue that norm. And it's not to say that the council could not, in its judgment at some point, decide that someone who is living would be honored. And I think in the right circumstance, it would be appropriate. And if it's the will of the council, we can do it. But I'm delighted to put before you the name of Elizabeth Carruthers. And Zeri Santner, our Parks Director, has a few more words to add.
I just want to describe the process to you. As you know, we have a naming policy. And we sought citizens' input, asked them for suggestions for names. A lot of names came. None of them were compelling to the naming committee that was formed. And the naming committee that had a historian within them suggested, talked about Elizabeth Carruthers and her being the first landowner in that area. And then we took it back to the Neighborhood Association, to the public, and they didn't have any issues with it. And we're very proud that we are naming this park in a very, very sustainable neighborhood. And the park itself is going to be very, very sustainable. Commissioner Saltzman, you will love the stormwater areas. And I'm very, very pleased personally, obviously, that this park is going to be named after a woman. And we're hoping that you would authorize that. Thank you.
Has anyone?
So,
yeah, go ahead.
Well, one question: does when you say urban gardens, does that mean like community gardens or just?
It's gardens? No. What the community requested that is combination of some edible, but mainly beautiful flower gardens. Yes.
Maintained
by parks.
Okay. Right.
Yes.
Has anyone signed up to testify?
No one signed up.
Is there anyone in the room that would like to testify on Council Calendar Item 3, whatever it
is? 5-9.
5-9. All right, hearing none, this is a non-emergency and moves to a second reading.
Thank you, Zeri.
Thank you, Zeri. And then, let's see, can, with the Council's permission, I'd like to consider item, which is your item, Commissioner Leonard.
I actually wouldn't mind the extra few seconds.
Okay.
Staff is working furiously in my office
as we speak,
if we could.
We have a time certain at 10 a.m. Carly, can you please read the title for Council Calendar Item 360?
Approve the 10-year tax exemption requested by 119 Towers, LLC, for the 119 Towers Rental Housing Project.
So I'll do a few introductory remarks before we hear from Barbara. Focusing density along transit corridors is essential to keeping Portland livable and affordable as we continue to attract growth. It is also important in terms of maintaining the existing single-family neighborhoods in the city by focusing density along transit and transportation corridors. This tax exemption will help get this project off the ground, which in turn will help us fulfill these development, housing, and transportation goals. And I want to thank Barbara Sack, the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, and Siobhan Beto from the Portland Development Commission for their work on this, and they'll be giving us a briefing on it. Barbara.
I'm Barbara Sack from the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. This is a request for a 10-year tax exemption under the city's TOD program for a rental housing project. The request is being made by 119 Towers, LLC, represented by Andrew Kelly, who is here today in case you have any questions. The TOD program is one of two of the city's multifamily tax exemption programs and is available in designated areas outside the central city that are planned for transit-oriented development. The program provides a 10-year tax exemption on the improvement value of a new multifamily or mixed-use project located within a quarter mile of a light rail transit station or another public transit facility. This proposed project is located on the southeast corner of the intersection of East Burnside and 119th Avenue, which is within one quarter mile of the 122nd Avenue Max Light Rail Station. The project is is a five-story building and is comprised of 40 apartments. The unit mix is 28 one-bedroom and 12 two-bedroom apartments. There's no ground floor commercial, and it includes 31 structured parking spaces on the ground floor. The parking ratio, we'd like to note, is lower than the usual 1-to-1 ratio. There's no required parking at this site because of its proximity to light rail. and they have reduced parking. One space will be reserved for to be a car share space. The applicant plans in the future to develop three tax lots to the east with two more residential buildings. However, this tax exemption application is just for the first phase of this project, which is the rental apartment building. The applicant is required to meet an affordability requirement and provide three other public benefits. The affordability requirement option that they have chosen is providing 20% of the units for low-income households at or below 60% median family income. The affordable units are also required to meet the unit mix in the project. This project will meet that criteria. Six of the units that are affordable will be one bedrooms, and two will be two bedrooms, and this reflects the unit mix. The applicant also plans to provide three other public benefit options. The first is residential density at 80% of the maximum density. For the RH zone, which the site is located in, this means that they have to have at least 68 units per acre to meet this test, and this project will provide 90 units per acre. They have a dedicated car share space and structured parking, which are the other two public benefits. Every TOD project must be reviewed by the Portland Development Commission for the economic necessity of the tax exemption to the project. This application was reviewed by PDC's Loan Committee on February 26th, and they found that the tax exemption was necessary to the economic feasibility of the project. The standard here is the internal rate of return. The city code says it has to be under 10% for the first 10 years of the project with the tax exemption. The internal rate of return for this project is minus 7.7%, so this is well under that standard. PDC staff then forwarded their recommendation onto the Planning Commission, who held a hearing on March 10th. Planning Commission recommended approval of the project with the following conditions. The affordable units as specified in the application be provided for the length of the tax exemption, the other three public benefit options specified in the application be provided, and that all building permit requirements, including compliance with the community design standards or design review, be met. They found that this project provides 40 units of mixed-income rental housing within a block of the 122nd Avenue MAX station, and that this is the type of high-density housing that the TOD program was meant to incent. Siobhan Beto is here from PDC, and Andrew Kelly is here if you have any questions.
Questions from the council?
Go ahead, please.
Just one question. I thought on our list of benefits or public benefits, we used to have a three-bedroom unit or three-bedroom units as a potential public benefit a developer could choose from.
I believe that's on the list, but you know, you only have to choose three out of, I believe, about 12 options.
I was just looking at the list, and there's 15 of them. And
oh, okay, 15 is a lot, yeah.
So maybe, okay, but as far as you understand, that is still one of the benefit, public benefits that a developer can choose.
You're not finding
it's a
it
choice.
On the list. You're not finding it on the list?
No, I'm not finding it on the list.
It is one of the choices, and if it's okay. If it's not in the text, it's just
number
a Scrivener's error.
Number two?
Yeah, number two.
That's right.
Number two.
Oh, there it is right there. Sorry.
In fact, you know, Reach CDC recently opened a development on Interstate, and some of the nicest units in the building are three-bedroom units on the wings, which were dedicated for folks who have Section 8 vouchers, precisely taking advantage of. This is a straightforward application. We're talking about the 10 years. This does not involve us in any current discussion about extensions, under what circumstances, and it's been vetted up and down the line, and it's subject to our more rigorous oversight in terms of compliance going forward. I'm pleased to recommend this to my colleagues.
Is anyone signed up to testify?
No one signed up.
Is anyone in the room that would like to testify on Council Calendar Item 360? Not seeing or hearing any. Carlo, will you please call the roll?
Fish.
So we're voting on this today?
Yep. It's an emergency.
Yeah, excuse me. Okay. Great work, Barbara, as always. Please to vote aye.
Saltzman.
Good work. Aye.
Fritz.
I very much appreciate this program, and I like the fact that this is on 122nd and Burnside, and that it's providing mixed income, that it's not all one or all the other, and it's providing the density that's helpful to that area and to support the transit. Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Ordinance is approved. We'll now take the items pulled from the consent agenda. Carla, can you please read the title for council calendar item 368?
Adopt City of Portland Investment Policy.
Is Ken Rust in the room? He was supposed to be here. All right, we'll come back to 368. Can you please read the title for council calendar item 373?
Amend contract with Brown and Caldwell for professional services for the Portsmouth Force Main Project number 6902 for engineering support services during construction.
Commissioner Saltzman.
Yes, the reason this was pulled from consent is so I can offer an amendment to delete the last paragraph on the last page concerning the Director of Environmental Services having the ability to execute amendments and increasing the cost above the authorized amount. That's not supposed to be there, so I'm moving to strike that.
Second. Been moved and seconded to strike the last paragraph so noted by Commissioner Saltzman. Any discussion on council regarding this amendment? Anyone in the room that would like to testify on this amendment? Hearing no discussion or desire to testify, would you please call the roll on the amendment?
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Amendment is approved. The title has been read. Is there any discussion on the contract itself? Is there anyone in the room that would like to testify on council calendar item 373? Hearing none, it moves to a second reading next week. Could you please read Can you please read the title for council calendar item 375? Takes a whole village, doesn't it?
Apply for a $4,927,220 competitive grant from the U.S. Department of Justice Office of Community-Oriented Policing Services Hiring Recovery Program to hire and train 20 police officers.
Commissioner Saltzman.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This ordinance is being brought forward to authorize Portland Police Bureau to apply for stimulus money to fund the hiring and training of 20 police officers, federal stimulus money. The Bureau will apply for almost $5 million in grant funding from the Department of Justice, Community-Oriented Policing Services, Office, or COPS. This will fund 20 officers for 3 years each. At the end of the 3 years, Portland Police must retain the officers for at least one additional year. To provide greater detail, I've invited up here Captain Mark Kruger, Project Manager for the Bureau's Stimulus Grants, and Veronica Nordine, Grants Management Analyst in the Bureau's Financial Division, if anybody has questions.
Any questions from the City Council? So this is an application, so it would come back to Council for acceptance, where we'd have an opportunity to sort of discuss it in terms of the fiscal picture for the next 5 years, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Any additional questions from Council? Anyone in the room would like to testify on item number 375? Thank you. This is an emergency. Carlo, will you please call the vote?
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Good work. Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Thank you for your work on this. I do want to note that it does commit us to funding the positions after the 3 years for one additional year. So that's commendable because we want to keep our police staffed. Aye.
Adams?
Thank you, President Obama. Aye.
Yeah, really.
375 is approved. We are on the regular agenda, and are we ready to?
We are.
Carly, can you please read? This is a second reading item, Council Item 376.
Authorize the Office of Management and Finance Business Operations to acquire the Made in Oregon sign and related property and permanent and temporary easements through the exercise of the city's eminent domain authority.
Commissioner Leonard.
Thank you, Mayor Adams. If I could ask Jan Oliver and Daryl Paulson of Ramsey Signs to come forward, please. As the council knows, we had it would be fair to characterize it as an intense discussion last week on the subject of the Made in Oregon sign and the ordinance that three of the members of the council introduced to condemn the sign. I took all of the comments last week to heart and seriously, but it was my belief that that in order to have a conversation that we'd been attempting to have, we needed to be seated at the table to have that conversation. And it was my view that although unfortunate, it was important to have the condemnation ordinance introduced. Literally the next day, Jan Oliver and Daryl Paulson and Art DeMero, the owner of the building, sat down and talked, and we had a very productive discussion, which led to a lot of really great creative ideas. It included us agreeing to meet again yesterday, and we agreed on, I'm really happy to announce, a composition of the sign that I'd like to hand out. I apologize for us working furiously to get this ready this morning, but this literally just came together this morning. And Ty, if you want to show on the screen, I do need to be careful in describing this because this is simply a graphic design as produced by our shop that needs to be refined by Daryl Paulson and the University of Oregon. And there are other attendant aspects of the tentative agreement we reached, which are really what I would characterize as technical in nature. But essentially, what you see here will be the agreed-to sign. I really want to thank Jan Oliver for her creativity and focus and advocacy on the part of the University of Oregon and Daryl Paulson for being not just a good partner in making this happen, but as some of you may know, Daryl also is donating the services of Ramsey Sign to construct the rose that will be on top of the McCall's building soon as a partner in helping the Rose Festival succeed. So I appreciate that as well. I really need to especially thank my two colleagues, Mayor Adams, whose agreement early this morning on a particular aspect of this was key in this compromise that we reached. So thank you, Mayor Adams, for your forbearance and willingness to work to find a middle ground, and also Commissioner Fish for having the faith that that taking the action we did would hopefully not result in us taking legal proceedings, but would actually inspire a conversation that that in fact happened. And I believe Portlanders, PSU students, PSU alum, U of O students, U of O alum will celebrate. I think that this sign as we see it here will be forevermore in the public domain under the constant care and vigilance of our partners, the University of Oregon. And I couldn't thank them enough for their willingness to find this middle ground. So, Jan, if you'd like to say anything, Daryl, turn it over to you.
Well,
you just have to give us your name.
My name's Jan Oliver. I work for the University of Oregon, and it has been my pleasure to represent the university on this particular issue. And I would like to say that we are pleased with the outcome. We had always assumed that reasonable people could come to outcomes that would be beneficial for all concerned. And that certainly did take place. As Randy alluded to, it was sometimes a messy process, but so be it. The outcome is clear, and we are comfortable with it. And I know Randy and I are extremely relieved.
Understatement.
So, and I would like to just take the time to acknowledge all the people who weighed in on this, this really ended up being quite a public conversation with many, many ideas, some way out of the box and some quite in the box. I think the public is always well served when people participate in the conversation. And to that